let's just talk. We're talking about going back to Gibraltar and what it was like. So how did, presumably, you know, there were Nissen huts everywhere, and the infrastructure had been sort of broken down because it had just been a garrison.
Yes.
So how did it sort of pull itself back together again?
I went to the boys' secondary school, which was run by Christian Brothers, who had just come back to Gibraltar. And they were English Christian Brothers. They didn't want the Irish because of nationalist problems. But in the same school, there was the girls' classes. And those were actually run by RAF teachers. The Christian Brothers didn't deal with the girls. They left it to the RAF as a separate school within the same building. There were also a lot of Italian ex-POWs who were doing a lot of work around Gibraltar. They were sort of labour. Of course, there's a large number of them. And there was army everywhere.
And what about hospitals and that sort of thing?
Well, the hospital, there was St Bernard's, there was the old colonial hospital, which subsequently became the St Bernard's, but some of the doctors there were military. Particularly the eye specialist was a Major Cass.
Do you remember sort of how you felt about coming back and
I was very happy to be back. My father didn't stay long because he couldn't get accommodation. We would stay with in my grandfather's house. So he didn't stay long there. By that time, he had got divorced from my mother and had a second wife, and he moved with her to Tangier, where he lived there from 1946 until 1958.
So you stayed with your mother?
I stayed with my grandfather. My mother was also at Tangier separately. I stayed with in my grandfather's house. I was always with my grandfather. I mean, I was the eldest grandson, and he always took a particular... We had a particular connection. So I stayed with my grandparents because I was at school in Gibraltar. And my second brother also stayed, but he dropped out of school early, so he went to Tangier with my father.
And did anybody go with your mother, any of the other children?
No.
So there were several around this time, which was a couple of things I wanted to ask you, which I have been asked to ask you. If, I mean, this may not be personal experience, but it may be something that you know a little bit about. Was the, first of all, what was happening during the war with the Italian mini-subs in the harbour?
Well, I could tell you as a historian.
Could you tell me a little? That would be great.
Shall I get my book out? Now, when we were in Madeira, a convoy of English ships was attacked by U-boats, and some ships were sunk. And some of the survivors ended up on some desert islands which belonged to the Madeira group, the Salvagians. Eventually, these people were found and brought back to Madeira, where they were put in a special building, a sort of home to help them recover. And some of the Gibraltarian girls acted as nurses. And one of the people there was a man called Maurice Featherstone, and he fell in love with the nurse who was looking after him. So when he returned to England, he went back to Gibraltar, where he worked with Crabbe as a diver, and he married this girl when she came back after the war, and he became a minister in the Hassan government.
It's a very nice story, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And I got it from him.
Okay.
So.
Oh, that's good. And he was British, was he?
Yes.
Featherstone. Yeah. And
He became very much a Gibraltarian. He was a member of the government for about 12 years.
That is a very nice story. I mean, there must be quite a lot of those stories. I mean, basically, you know, as we know...
Well, you won't get it from Morris now because he's dead.
No, well, that's the trouble. You did. When did you write the book? What year did you write it?
Oh, about 20 years ago.
Because it is rather late in the day to be doing this history, in a way, because an awful lot of people have died who can talk, you know, first-hand accounts of the Second World War. You know, Thank you very much. I mean, we all wish we'd interviewed our parents, really. We should have done, shouldn't we? But our parents wouldn't tell us anyway, you know, I think. My parents never spoke about the war. So we talked a little bit about Gibraltar after the war. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was Paul Baker, who I think is a colleague of yours.
Yes, he was at the Hebrew school with me, actually, because his father was a Methodist preacher, and he wouldn't send him to the Christian Brothers. So he came to the Hebrew school also.
That's so interesting. So the Christian Brothers were more of the Catholic side. Yeah. Yeah.
But they ran the educational system at Gibraltar at the time, basically. And there were some people, a number of Protestants, who wouldn't go to a Catholic school.
And how were the Christian Brothers, I mean, how were they viewed by everybody? Did people...
Oh, they were very much liked. I mean, I had very good education from them. It made up for all the deficiencies of my early education in a few years. They left Gibraltar because it was felt that their numbers were reduced and they had better work to do elsewhere where they were needed. And that by that time, there were a number of so many Gibraltarian teachers that they weren't needed there anymore.
I mean, it sounds like it was such a sort of... cross-pollination of cultures, all these different cultures and religions in such a small space.
Yeah. It's extreme. Well, yeah, but up to a point, but Gibraltar was 90% Catholic.
But your family was influenced by all that, wasn't it? Because, you were... Yeah.
Of course.
No, I think it is really... I mean, you can understand why the anthropologist wants to study Gibraltar, because it is such a small... Everybody in this tiny area... It's what I couldn't kind of get when I first started researching and doing
well,
this.
Well, Canadian anthropologists have been studying Gibraltar. They're the people who've done the anthropological studies in Gibraltar for the last 40 years. My friend Larry Sorchuk of the University of Toronto has been going there for 40 years. And he doesn't like being reminded of the story. His teacher started working. She was doing some mathematical question of relations and diseases on the apes. So when he was a student, she took him out. And he said, I had a look at that thing with his teeth and I didn't like it a bit. So I decided I'd work on something else. And then because the Jewish community was limited, he started doing his mathematical calculations, anthropological work on disease, and he's done a lot of work on diseases and marriage and so on of the Jewish community, and now he's gone on to other things. So he's gone to the community generally.
And has he reached any conclusions or come up?
Not much. He's published quite a lot.
And do you think this new oral history project is going to cover some of the similar ground?
I have no idea. I mean, I did speak to Jennifer, who is one of the people involved. She's very much a protege of mine because I was running the Gibraltar History Journal for 10 years and I felt that I had to hand over to somebody else before I snuffed it. I got her to take it over, and so we've been working very closely since. And now we're still working closely because I'm transferring my very big collection, a reference collection of books on Gibraltar and the matters pertaining to Gibraltar to the Garrison Library, which is going to look after.